Good evening, everybody. This evening we'll try to discuss a yesod that emerges from Hilchos Yom Kippurim and start with Parshas Hazinu. But first we'll begin with opening the floor to questions. So Jerome just asked, swallowing medication on Yom Kippur. So any medication that you really need to function, so for an example, like an ADHD medication, is totally permissible to swallow because without it you wouldn't really be able to function normally. But you cannot take it with water. So Poskim would say to take it with something that's not really edible. People would advise you to swallow it even with a little bit of mouthwash, something like that, a little disgusting, if you need a liquid medium to get it down. That help you? All right. Anyone else? Any questions? Basic Yom Kippur stuff? All right. So let's begin. This week's Parsha is Parshas Ha'azinu. Ha'azinu. So what does Moshe Rabbeinu tell us in this week's Parsha? Vayomra, Aleihem, Simu Levavchem, Lechol Levar, Mesharuchim, Me'id Bachem, Hayom, Mesher Tzuvim, Tetzavum, Moshe Rabbeinu has been urging us for a couple of weeks now, and certainly this coming week, to pass the Masorah on, make sure the Torah and Mitzvahs continue to the next generation. Ki lo davar reiku mikem. It's not empty from you, Torah. Ki hu chayechem. It's your life. Ubedavar hazet harichu yamim, and through the Torah you will have a long life. Ala adam ma'asharatem ovrim. So a recurring theme throughout these parshios, and certainly throughout the tefillos and the Amim Noraim, is latching on to life. Right, we want to be written in the Sefer HaChaim, and we keep in asking Hashem for life, life and life. It's a recurring theme. And this evening, the main idea we're going to speak about is the need to really hold on to life, and it comes up in many different scenarios, many different halachos. So Chazal have a drasha on this pasuk. Anyone want to take a guess? What does it mean when Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Ki lo davar reik hu mikem"? The Torah is not empty from you. It's a funny thing to say, no? Wait, what does it mean? It's not davar reik hu mikem. What does that mean? You know, pasuk pshat. Anyone want to suggest? What does that mean? The Torah is not empty from you. The Torah is not empty. Funny thing to say. I don't know. What would be a synonym for empty? Maybe here. Torah is not what? Worthless. Yeah, worthless. Very good. Exactly.
Devoid of you.
Oh, very good. Meaning it's not unattainable. It's reachable. It's attainable. It's a nice idea. Say Chazal, Torah's Mimur Kutz.
Another thing is it's not missing you in particular. You have a place in it.
Oh, beautiful. Right. Very good. It's just very. I like that a lot. So the Chazal, the Gemara Yushalmi Peya is quoted here in the Torah's Mimur. Rashi quotes similar drushos, but there are many similar drushos on this pasuk, namely, Amar Abimana, Ki lo davar reik hu. Torah is not empty, seemingly it's not dull or lifeless. V'im reik hu, and if it comes off as reik, as empty, as lifeless, mikem hu, that's from you. Right, meaning it's on you. It's on you if it comes off.
That's not pasuk.
Ah. Now this already comes closer to what Rashi quotes. Namely, the harder you work at the Torah, the more you'll find. I often compare it to a piñata. You know, when you hit the piñata, the candy comes out. So the way Torah works is that the more you apply yourself to it, the more you find, the more life you find in it. But this is a yesod that Chazal learned in this week's Parsha. Namely, the Torah is a source of life. It's a pasuk in the Parsha, Ki hu chayechem. But you have to find the chayim in it. Because it takes two to find the chayim. The Torah could be the greatest source of life, but if you're not looking for the chayim, the Torah could come off as very much not alive. And I remember Rabbi Shlomo Kamenetsky, he said that on the NCSY Summer Kol once upon a time, the great Gadol of Aaron Lichtenstein, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, was once speaking to the young boys. You know what? The hammer is, you should be hearing Tahara, right? The building in Umikvah is a sound of Tahara as we approach Yom Kippur. And we'll take it over that, like, music we heard 2 weeks ago. Like, blasting, like, you know, like, whatever. Anyway. My Rebbe said that one of the boys on the NCSY call once asked the great Rav Lichtenstein, Rebbe, what do we do when the Torah is boring? The parts of the Torah, the Gemara, is boring. What do we do about that? And Rav Lichtenstein basically said this shot. He said, you don't edit the Torah. You edit yourself. Meaning you think it's boring. It's not boring. You think it's boring. And what Chazal is teaching us in that one story is teaching us is that you need to try to find the Chaim in the Torah. You need to. You need to. And there's so much life to find if you just apply yourself a little bit more. Okay. So with that in mind, let's learn a little bit of halacha, because we're going to speak about certain halachas related to Yom Kippur and Sukkos that have a lot to do with Chaim, a lot to do with life and death, not of people, but of plants. Says Yom Kippur, Achal ochlin she'en ru'in le'achila. So let's say you, on Yom Kippur, ate food that was not really fit for human consumption. Would you say that is muster, usur, somewhere in between? What would you say? What? Ritalin. That's medication. So you want to say mutter. Mutter. Good. Definitely not usur midaraisa. Rava. I'm a Rava. So here it is. Kas pilpili. Vyoma de kipuri putter. If someone were to chew, right, to grind, suck with their teeth, whatever, bite, on pilpili is a raw pepper, meaning a stalk, the original pepper form, on Yom Kippur day. So not ground up pepper. Putter. You have not violated an issa midoraisa, but the word putter generally means it's an issa midorabanan. Kas zangbila, or let's say you also chewed on zangbila, which is ginger. Dikipura also a putter. So again, similar concept. Essentially, you're eating foods that are not normally eaten. And the lashon of the Gemara is putter. Similarly, Gemara brachos. Pilpili, if someone were to eat pepper, again, in its raw form, its non-processed form, Rav Sheshes Amar Shehakol, you'd have to make a bracha on such a food. Rav Amar Lo Klum, you would not make a bracha on such a food. And why not? Rav is Lashitaso, says the Gemara. Rav matches up with his opinion in Yuma. The Az, the Rav, the Taimei, the Amar Rav, Kas Pilpili, B'yom, the Kippurah, putter. So in the same way that Rav would hold by Hilchos Yom Kippur, that chewing on this pepper is not a violation of eating on Yom Kippur, so too, well, when it comes to those brachas, what brachas would you make? Since it's not a food, you wouldn't make any bracha. So Rava is lishitaso. It's not a food, therefore, there's no bracha to be recited on it. Similarly, if you were having on Yom Kippur, you have not really eaten food on a d'oraisa level. And the Rambam paskins, Hilchos Shvisos Aser, Achal Ochlim She'enan Ru'uyin L'maychal Adam. Let's say on Yom Kippur you would have food that is simply not fit for consumption. Kigon asavim hamar, and bitter grass, he gives other examples, or drinks that are not really fit for consumption. Afilu achav ashasim en harbe. Harei ze pater min hakares. So you're not going to get kares for that. Ava makin oso, makas mardus. Na shabbas shabbason. You want to say that it's like Shabbos, whatever. You know, we could talk about putters, when a putter is a putter, and putter is mutter, putter is aser, whatever. But ultimately, the Rambam says black on white, that if someone were to eat food on Yom Kippur, sorry, someone were to eat anything that is not food on Yom Kippur, it's not scot-free, it's not mutter, it's an issur midrabbanan, to the degree that you get lashed makas mardus, rabbinical lashes. And we haven't really seen a reason for it not to be an issur midaraisa, but seemingly it's intuitive, right? Why have you not violated an issur midaraisa by eating raw pepper, a pepper stalk on Yom Kippur? Why is that not a biblical violation of Yom Kippur? It's not food. In fact, that's the way the Shulchan Aruch presents.
What would be the purpose if someone would decide to eat something?
So this will be the source for the famous Listerine strip Shaila on Yom Kippur. So it's actually a very, very common Shaila. You're right. So I haven't seen too many people suck on a ginger stalk or in a pepper stalk. What? What? Yeah, exactly. So either to remove or, you know, I don't know, if you have some, you know, stimulus, gets your mind, it's a distraction. I don't know, you know, kind of like a fidget thing, but with your mouth, I don't know. People like to smell a lot of stuff on Yom Kippur.
That's not what you speak about, smelling sores.
Exactly. Yes, a very similar Shaila. So,
I smell coffee on Yom Kippur.
You smell coffee on Yom Kippur.
You're not allowed to smell coffee?
No, I never said you're not. You're allowed to smell coffee on Yom Kippur.
It's like smelling sores.
No, I never said you can. Yeah, it's a fascinating. You might have to make a brach on smelling coffee beans in general. There's such a con, right? We made the, I don't, you know. There is a bracha on certain.
I know things we have to have up the
road. Really?
Yeah,
that's pre. It's a pre.
Yeah.
So if one were to smell coffee beans, you'd make a bracha. And yeah, I have to look it up. I'd have to look it up.
Coffee, brown?
I'd have to look it up.
If you're doing it and you have no intentions of drinking, yeah, the problem
is. If you're just doing it for the sake of the smell, we'd have to look that up, but there is such a concept in the books. Don't worry about it right now.
I got to know
about it. It's an easy lookup. Don't worry. I'll text you later. Achal, this is a Shulchan Aruch. If you eat these ale kanim, we'll have to learn about it. All right. So same shayla about the smelling lulav. All right. We're almost there. So smelling an esrog. So achal ale kanim pata. Let's say someone ate like leaves, right? So the lulve gefun. Right. So ding 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 lulav. But if he ate, again, these like these fruits that are starting to blossom, whatever. So you ate them at one stage of the development, the putter. Why? The eights ba'al nuhu. So the Shulchan Aruch rules over here that if you eat them in the earlier state, it's eights. Vim liv livlu be'eretz Yisrael, merosh Hashana ad Yom Kippurim chayev. So essentially what we're seeing in the halacha over here is that at different points of the vegetable, the plant's development, so you're going to have a chilek in the halacha. Why would that be? Says the Halakha Mishnah Berurah. What's the difference? Shehanitu u'ir. What it is, I'm sorry. Mishum da'adayin lachin v'rachin hein v'ru'in lachila. Meaning, all the while that they're still soft and ro'i lachila, so at that stage, we wouldn't be able to eat them on Yom Kippur. But I guess once they're already, at a further stage, so that would be nothing. And then the Shulchan Aruch quotes the story of Rava, he would suck on the raw pepper, and that's not a problem. But again, v'imheim rutuvim chayev. So what does that mean? If they're rutuv, then they're chayev. So what does that mean? Again, so once they're soft, or all the while that they are still soft, rather, in their original state, so then you would be chayev. So we're seeing a very, very important halacha here, that if something has a little bit of softness, whatever, so then it would be edible, and therefore you wouldn't be able to suck on it on Yom Kippur. But if something has had the equivalent of eitz ba'alma, so just merely wood, like literally unedible, so then that's not at least an issa midoraisa, but it might be an issa midorabanan. So if I were to ask you to apply this background to Listerine strips on Yom Kippur, so would anyone be able to do that yet? Would anyone be able to come away with a... It tastes good, right? So AB says in the same way... Wait, no, that's not treif. What do you mean treif? You could have it on all the other... What do you mean by treif? So you wouldn't make a bracha on it, according to most poskim. Not everyone agrees with that. But assuming you wouldn't make a bracha on it like mouthwash, right? So the question becomes... Is it edible? Because here we're saying that once something is edible, it's soft. Then all of a sudden, it's edible, and you can't put it in your mouth on Yom Kippur. So what about a Listerine strip? What would you say? What? Well, I'm saying the ginger. All the while that it's still soft and edible, that would be a problem. Right? Meaning the same food.
It's not food. It's not edible.
So very good. So at an earlier stage, it is edible because it's still soft. Then when it hardens, it's no longer edible.
Physically edible.
Meaning when
not
it's still...
Not you would eat, but it's physically edible.
Right. Very good. So we assume that you're not allowed to wash out your mouth on Yom Kippur. It included Hilchos Rechitza, right? So the Rama writes that you're not allowed to wash your mouth out as well. Right? So here what we just learned was that...
Wash your mouth out with water or
with anything. I mean, anytime you wash your mouth out on Yom Kippur, you have violated Rechitza, at least, basic Pshat in the Shulchan Aruch Ramah. But again, the Lashon of the Mishabura was, what all the while that this thing is still soft, v'ru'uyin la'achila. So again, if it's still soft, it's ro'i la'achila. So Listerine strips are soft, obviously, you can put them in your mouth, but it's a ro'i la'achila.
What happens, I just don't know, when you put the strip in your mouth, what happens to the plastic?
It dissolves completely, meaning it just disappears into your mouth. You don't actively swallow it. It's not like gum. You put it on your tongue, and it's like it disappears almost. And you have like a splash taste in your mouth of like mouthwash. So it's a nice feeling. You feel like you just washed your mouth out with Listerine, but you didn't actually go through the process of washing your mouth out as if you put actual mouthwash, right? So anyone want to take a stab at it? What'd you say? Mutter, usser? Because I'll tell you what happens.
It's not usser.
Not, you want to say it's not usser.
It's It's not
achila. Very good. So there's a famous heder of a shechter, where people like to say that according to Rav Shechter, it's completely permissible to like pop Listerine strips like on Yom Kippur. And the truth is, they're not wrong. Rav Shechter, you know, holds that you can have Listerine strips on Yom Kippur. Now, again, I never personally spoke to Rav Shechter about it. It's certainly quoted often in his name. Now, I never have heard a limitation on it. But I just want to quote to you, the Ramah says, V'asr lirchotz piv b'yom kippur. You're not allowed to wash your mouth on Yom Kippur. Why? Says the Mishbura, Shema yivla k'tzas begrono. Right? So apparently we're not worried about the din of rechitza when you wash your mouth. That we're only worried about what? Swallowing the water. Now that would lead one to think that what? That worst case scenario, if you put mouthwash in your mouth, what's the worst case scenario? You swallow some of it, so what? You're allowed to drink mouthwash on Yom Kippur, so to speak, right? So I could have heard one say that that's not a problem. I've never seen anyone actually say that. I think we generally assume it's not okay. But as a YU Talmud, I always remember seeing the great Rav Shai Shechter daven for the Amud on Yom Kippur back in the day. And he, to assist him in the Yom Kippur process as the Chazan, would have Listerine strips. And then the rumor started to spread, like, whoa, Rav Shechter's making Listerine strips. And I, therefore, always knew it. Ravai Leibowitz, if I'm not mistaken, has a 10-minute halacha. I listened to it once upon a time. And again, it's pretty clear that Rav Shechter's Shita is that one may take Listerine strips on Yom Kippur. But I don't know if there are any restrictions. But then the Sefer Bata Yosef came out.
The strip is made up of something called polymer.
Yeah.
It's a polysaccharide polymer, which is an edible, mostly tasteless polymer. The chief commercial use of polymer is that the manufacture of edible films are used in various preparations. So basically dissolved. And it's a sugar.
But it's not a food.
It's a sugar. What is a sugar? It's a food.
No, not what we call food. You're right. Now, you want to say on a scientific level, it's food. Okay. But on a scientific level, I would imagine hard.
So if you ate a piece of wood,
right,
you can't digest it.
Okay, good.
If it's not digestible, this is actually.
Right, so you want to say.
If you're going to tell me you put something in your mouth and it doesn't go anywhere, that's fine. But this actually dissolves.
If you ate 100 of them, would you get calorie intake?
I thought so.
Oh, so these are right. Very good. So Adam, as a doctor, is thinking on a scientific level, saying, wait a minute. Don't tell me it's not a halachic food when it's, you know, makeup
is halachic.
Is sugar, essentially.
Yeah.
That's a very compelling point. And I was also surprised when I opened up the Bata Yosef, which is Minhage Wayu Rosh Yeshiva. They don't say it's mutter. Now, again, this sefer is comprised of the Piske Halacha of Rav Shechter, Rav Willig, Rav Soloveitchik, and Rabbi Taubes maybe is, I don't know if there's like one main captain behind this project.
Who's Yosef?
Rabbi Soloveitchik himself. So it's mainly based on Rav Soloveitchik, but it's not only him, it's the bias, so to speak. It's all his Menhagim and his Masora, and that was just carried on by Rav Willig, Rav Shechter. What? All right. Okay, good. So hold on. So here, they write like this. Yesh lihistapik. It's a suffix. Im mutar litein pase listarina bepiv b'yom kippur. So how do they present it? Not as a leniency, but as a suffix. They don't say it's usser. They don't say it's mutter. They say it's not so clear. Now, in the footnote, they do, again, I really have to give credit to Rabbi Taubes. I think it was him. Whoever put the Sefer together, God bless him. They should be blessed. I think it was a team effort, but ultimately, it's great. So I hope the official Sefer comes out. They came out with the original version, like the Karasic print of the sneak peek. We want it to be the real deal soon. So anyway, they go through the sugya in the footnote over here, and they say like this. What is the issue with eating? Why did the Rambam say that if you eat food that's not edible, it's not mutter. Remember the Rambam said that if you eat this inedible food, what was his lashon? Putter, and you get malchus marz, you get lashed for that. So it doesn't mean it's mutter, but we assume that that's because of the rule known as achshavei, right? Meaning, by eating it, you're elevating it to a food. So if you were to eat something that's not edible, your act of eating demonstrates that it is a food. So that's usser, midir abanim. So now, let's say you swallow something that's not edible, not for the sake of eating, but for the sake of something else. Let's say for refuah. So that's not achshavei. If you eat paper, so for the sake of eating, so that's achshavei, meaning you've elevated the status to a food. If you eat medicine, you're not elevating it to the status of food, you're taking medicine, you're not trying to eat. So says of Schechter, in order to justify taking the terrine strips, you need to come away with two different atayim. Number one, you have to say that there is no shame ochel on the listerine strip. It's not halachically food. So Dr. Karp is saying, well, maybe it is. So if Schechter was number one, then maybe it's not food. And number two, when you put it in your mouth, you're not elevating it to the status of food. Because why are you putting it in your mouth? Not for the sake of eating, but rather what? For the sake of freshening your mouth. So what's the takeaway, Musar Halacha? If you keep on eating them repeatedly, clearly your intention is no longer just to remove bad breath. Right, because
you
did it already. I mean, you take one listerine strip, you're good. So why are you taking it every 5 seconds?
Maybe it also takes care of your hunger.
And now all of a sudden you're like elevating it to a food. It's like sucking on the ginger, sucking on, whatever you want to say. We eat. So that's why the footnote over here, they say, if you have it so many times in the day, so he says, Yesh la'ayin, kama pa'amim bayom. How many times can you get away with eating it in the day? Because you want halachically to say it's not considered eating.
You're applying it. But if you apply it too many times, then it's no longer an application.
Exactly. That's exactly right. So if you want to take a pill, so you're only taking a pill, you're not eating. But if you take the pill every 10 seconds, there's clearly something about the pill that's getting you nourished and whatever. So, like there's like a sickle sugar coating in Advil, right? So, something like that. And Dr. Karp is saying, hello, there is sugar. Listerine strip is sugar. Yee. Okay, so unfortunately, I didn't chazer that Rav Aryeh Leibowitz 10-minute halacha I meant to today. So I don't know if Rav Schechter himself holds of any limitations on it. But again, the way the Sefer is presented, I think does a job at maybe deflating some of the high hopes for the high holidays, where I think most of the rumors are like, oh, Rav Schechter says you can just take the Listerine strips, which may or may not be true. Again, I'd have to ask Rav Leibowitz. You can listen online to Rav Leibowitz's Listerine strip halacha thing. But I don't know if Rav Schechter would be so lenient based on this footnote. In contrast, I can understand why Rav Shai Schechter did it every 10 seconds because he was the chazan and he needed to kind of get through dry mouth, or, something like that. That's different. That's different. By the way, you should all start davening for me today. I agreed to daven the Ila for the Amr outside. So if anyone is not sure what to daven for, like v'chasfeinu v'sefer achayim, so please. I think the malachim will have enough pity on me the second I start davening. I think it's a good school for Agmar Chasima Tova to embarrass myself in public. We'll see. They did a chazan. I'll try what I can do. No, I'm searching for compliments. I'm going to nail it. You know why? Because that's what you got to do. But it's a new thing for me. I'm looking forward to doing it. All right, so.
Listerine strips and everything.
Yeah, but also.
Yeah.
Maybe that polymer is not digestible. And you can get away with it because you only have a small amount. If you had 100 of them, you may start causing stomach upset.
Oh, very good. Yeah, I don't know anything about these things, but look into that stuff. Let me know. All right, so that was that. So I thought it would be a fascinating sugya to go through. But in my mind, I thought that what's fascinating is that the halacha is essentially telling us when there's life within the food and when there's no life in the food. The same way that sometimes the Torah seems dry But when you look into it, there's so much more, right? The Chazal criticizes us by saying, if you find the Torah to be dry, so that's really on you. So I thought on a cute halachic level, so sometimes, you know, a dry piece of ginger could appear to be dry, but when you suck on it, right, in its earliest stages of development, it, you get a lot of nourishment from it, and the halacha recognizes that.
That's very good.
So Dr. Karbi Mahav, the next part of the show. So as we are hopefully buying Arba Minim later this evening, so we know that there is a psul in Arba Minim as Yavesh. So your Arba Minim can't be dry. Now, again, I love the Sefer Lekicha Tama. Lekicha Tama was written by a Talmud of Rav David Feinstein, who deserves recognition. Avraham Reish Yud Yud Tet. Reit. R-E-I-T.
It's not Reit, that's for sure.
Avram Reit. He lives in Brooklyn, I think, or at least did at the time of the publication. And what he did was not write a sefer with all of the halachas. He gave a practical guide on how to go about it. And believe it or not, he tremendously calmed me down years ago when I originally bought the sefer. And one year I went to the YU Svarim sale, specifically looking to buy the sefer, and I found it in English halacha Svarim under a table. I was looking for it, and it wasn't being advertised on the top of it. I think I had to like dig for it, but I was excited to find it. He has a story here, because everyone knows you're not allowed to buy a lulav hayavish. You're not allowed to have a dry lulav. And he points out that it's essentially impossible to violate this halacha. You know why? Because a lulav hayavish is like drier than dry. It's not something that we really come into contact with. And he actually has an amazing story of Rav Moshe Feinstein. He says that Rav Moshe Feinstein used the same lulav for 9 years in a row. 8 straight years. Throughout the year, it was suspended from a hook in the shul to protect it from rodents. True, it wasn't communist Russia, and we love him, we're rare, but the point is that Rav Moshe held that it was still kosher after hanging there for 8 years.
And they used to put their escrobium in honey.
Oh, that's fascinating.
Store them in honey.
Right. So one of the halachas of the Arba Minim is that it cannot be yavish. And again, that the source for that is a machlok, is what the psul is of the yavish. But there is, and I think it's quoted often in the name of a Gemara Yushalmi, it's a midrash Tehillim that I'm looking at. And the pasuk in Tehillim says, Lo hameisim yahalelu ka. Right? We know that someone who's dead cannot praise Hashem. And Chazal learned that out to mean, lulav hayavish puzzle, right? That your Arba Minim cannot be particularly dry. I remember years ago, of Melech Binam in Shlita, one of the big Marmisei Torah in Eretz Yisrael, a chassid from Beit Shemesh, he is a tremendous, Marbitz Torah, and he adds a lot of emuna, and he gives a lot of people a lot of chizuk. So I remember he said, if your lulav can't be dead, Kal v'chomer, you can't be dead. And so I always remember learning that from this sugya, that the Torah is telling us that there's more life in these things that you may have realized. So it's very hard to pass a lulav hayavish. The aravos, right? They are the ones that wither the fastest. But you know what? It's almost impossible for your aravos to actually be pussel. As long as there's a typical green left. Now, it is true, Rav Willig recommends, and I follow him, you buy 2 sets of aravos and you switch in the middle of Chol HaMoed, because, you know, why would you want to have, you know, withered out aravos? But that dasim, chances are they'll make it. And, you know, Rav Willig does not put his lulav or a dasim and any of that stuff in the water or the fridge. He says he puts it in his bag and he zippers it up and he has bitachon. That's what he does. He does not think, Peter, maybe you should buzz her in. Just hit the green. What's it called? So I just thought that.
Yeah,
hit that thing. Thank you, Peter. So I thought it was, this is so much Torah here, about finding more life in things than you may have realized, that you're withering a ravos or really kosher. Again, Bez Hashem, later tonight we'll look at these things and just go through a more practical halacha. But the most famous Mishnah Berurah by Hilchos Yom Kippurim is by Hilchos Ne'ilah, where he writes that at the end of Yom Kippur, that's it. Tachlis kol aseres mitshuva is Yom Kippurim. So the whole point of Rosh Hashanah is to get to Ne'ilah, essentially. Shakol holeich achar hachisim. The whole point is the end. And here's the key line. Af im chalash hu machmas hatayinus. Even if you're weak, who is not weak at the end of Yom Kippur? What did you say? Ye'ezor ki gibor chalatzav. Vispaba machshava zacha ubrura. What should you do, basically? You can't have a cup of coffee, so what should you do?
Suck it up.
Suck it up. Step up. You know, get yourself up. Yeah, that's it. Playoff hockey. Playoff baseball. You mean you step up. Meaning, who's helping you? There's no caffeine, no pills, no... You help yourself. Just get yourself together. Uba, l'tayer, messiah, also. Anyway, what was the very, very, very first halacha in Hilchos Hashana? Wake up for Shlichos. Wake up. Who's going to wake you up? Wake up. Wake up. The Torah, starting with Moshe Rabbeinu, this week's parsha, is saying, Chevra, if the Torah seems dead, it's not because the Torah is dead. It's because you're dead. First halacha in Hilchos Hashana. Nohagim lakum bashmoris lomar Shlichos. You know what the minig is this time of year? To wake up earlier than you used to. You'll be tired. Doesn't matter. You wake up. You're tired at the end of Yom Kippur. It's a fast day. Wake up. Get yourself ready. I thought maybe there's an allusion to this in Sefer Yonah. What is the deal with this kikayon? What happens to this kikayon? What happens to it? It withers away. Yonah goes out. He makes a sukkah. And you know what? There's a beautiful kikayon. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. So Hashem makes a kikayon sprout to give Yonah shade. Wow. You know why he needed to do that? Because the sukkah was not enough. Yonah was in the sukkah, and the sukkah withers away. Not a kikayon. A kikayon is lasting. V'lochein ha-kikayon ha-yonek v'tivos ha-aretz. A kikayon derives its nourishment from the ground. It's an amazing thing. Where Yonah was in a sukkah, and Hashem said, listen, that sukkah is not good enough for Yonah. That sukkah is going to die. The shade of that sukkah is transient. It's going to go away. It's not going to last long. I need to give him something that is attached to the source of life. In other words, who makes the sukkah? Ya'as lo sham sukkah. Who made the sukkah? Man. Who made the kikayon? Hashem. All the while that we're relying on ourselves, the life will not last. The only way to tap into energy, to tap into nourishment, is to tap into the Ribono Shel Olam. I don't know how to explain it in words. People who connect to the Ribono Shel Olam don't wither away. You look at Rabbi Yudin, you look at Chevy Yudin, they're a kikayon. How are they so lively and vibrant? It's very simple. Their nourishment is not from man. The nourishment is from the Ribono Shel Olam. And that's why Yonah doesn't understand that the kikayon goes away. And again, there's a lot of a deeper explanation. I would kind of maybe explain that interaction. But on Yom Kippur, we go in with a mikvah from Mayim Chaim. We tap into the Elohim Chaim, and we daven v'chasfenu b'sefer ha-chaim, v'chasmeinu b'sefer ha-chaim. Because the ultimate source of life is the Elohim Chaim. And you take your lulav and you take your esrog, and they're going to wither. They're going to wither. And you realize, you know why they're withering? Because they're no longer attached to the source. And that should serve as the ultimate lesson to you. You know what's going to happen to you if you don't attach yourself to your source, to your creator? Same thing. Same thing. But we hold them dear while they're still fresh and they're still exciting. Because again, they still have their moisture. They still have their life in them. And maybe we don't need a Listerine strip this Yom Kippur. Because we can have enough moisture from within. All right, my friends, let's dive on.